Welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast, where we believe being together, being encouraged, and being equipped matters.
Hey, welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Cummings, and I am here with my friends and co-hosts.
Hey, it's Brent Thomas.
And this is Chris Lehane. And we're excited to be here. It's been a little while, guys. And Dave, for those who maybe are joining us for our second time go at this, tell us a little bit about the Refuel Conference that's connected to this podcast.
Yeah, so Refuel Conference has been around for about 10 years now, and it is a resource to worship and production teams. This year, our conference is January 17th and 18th, held on the campus of Bethel University once again. And we're super excited for the guests that we have coming: Paul Balash, Meredith Andrews, John Egan, and a plethora of other people who are going to be part of the experience. And we have some exciting news that's I can't share yet, but some exciting news that's around the corner for Friday night. It's going to be a really special night of worship. But people can go to refuelconference.com for more information about the conference or to get tickets. In fact, I'd encourage people to go check it out. The heart of it is to encourage, equip, and resource the local church, the leaders of the local church. So that's the heart of what we're doing with Refuel Conference.
Yeah, super pumped. And Dave even used big words like plethora. I love it. It's a plethora of people and experiences. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So one of the things we like to talk about is wonders and blunders. We're all local guys that serve in the local church and lead worship. And it seems like inevitably when you stand on a platform, some funny, silly things happen, wonders and blunders. So let's jump in this bit we've titled Wonders and Blunders.
Wonders and blunders, man. It's so fun when you can, talk about these things in a room with like-minded people, because we all have these stories, right? Guys, for me, I got to be honest, this happened just a couple weeks ago. It wasn't on a Sunday morning, but I was leading worship for, there was about 30 to 40 dads and their kids. And so I don't know if you guys have ever done this. I don't play electric guitar as my lead instrument, but I do know from other lead guitar players, like especially like Phil Wickham. Phil Wickham's got same BPM song sometimes with like similar, like the intros are similar enough that I remember like, hey, we're gonna go into like Great Things, and then they're playing, you know, This Is Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
And the lead line. You're like, right? Yeah. That's the wrong song. Yeah. So I'm leading a song that was new to me. I spent like 2 weeks kind of prepping for it. It was One by Passion, The Lord Will Provide. And I was coming out of Trust in God. The morning session, I led it, and it was like totally fine in. It was great. Got through it. Felt really, really comfortable about it. But then like in the evening session, we were coming back, and I started with Trust in God. You know, so six, eight tempo songs, and I'm playing through it, and I'm getting to the end of Trust in God, and I'm like, I really need to trust in God right now because I'm forgetting how the song starts.
I hate that.
And so I'm like, but I remember how the chorus went, so I just like, hey, let's sing this chorus together.
Yeah, good cover.
So
thinking that buy me some time to figure out how does the verse go again?
Yeah. Yes. So I don't know if you guys ever led your like, I know this one, like this chorus and the words, and in the back of your mind you're like, how do I get into the verse? Yeah. And it was just like, I was so paranoid, guys, that I was gonna have to just stop in front of all these dads and kids. And like, so I really forgot like how this song goes. And like right as we're about to get to that first word of the verse, it finally like came back into my mind. Oh, I was praising the Lord. I was definitely trusting in God.
The Lord will provide.
The Lord will provide, baby. So
it was almost a blunder, but there was a little bit of wonder in that. We're like, woohoo, pulled it off.
Yes. Oh, well, man. So yeah, that's my recent one. That was like fresh just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Same a couple of weeks ago. Speaking of electric guitar players, I've been leading a lot with electric on, you know, front line, playing rhythm mainly, but covering some lead lines and things like that. And so I was the only electric guitar player that weekend leading on the front line right in front of everybody. And we get into the second song. So we have two gatherings, second gathering right at the end of the song. And it was actually a Phil Wickham song. And I'm covering the lead line, and I hit the last note of the lead line and the string just explodes on me. And so that song's done. And we're like we're starting the next song, like clicks coming in, count in, all this stuff. And I'm just like, and I quick hit my tuner and I just strum and I see every single string is out of tune on my guitar. Word. So I'm like, I can't even like fake it, like power chords. Like, and it's like, so I just stopped playing and the whole next song, I'm just my hands raised and my sound guy keeps looking at me going like strumming his guitar and saying like, is your guitar working? And I'm just like shaking my head, like trying to say like, no, like it's not. So, and then that song ends and we go into like a host moment where, you know, someone comes up. And so I bolt off stage, I run backstage and I knew I had a secondary electric in a storage closet. And so I pull it open and I strap it up and I run around to the other side. And one of our production techs meets me in the back and he's like, what's going on? I'm like, my guitar broke a string. I'm switching to this guitar and I'm tuning up and I strum this one. And I realize that it's been in storage so long and the weather changes that the intonation is destroyed on this thing. And I hit it and it's like hitting the neck, like buzzing like crazy. And I'm like, ah, and he's like, do you have an acoustic? And I'm like, yeah, it's down in an office. So he's sprinting, like the person out there is like starting to wrap up and to pray. He sprints down, grabs an acoustic. I pull it in and I plug the acoustic into my pedal board because it's the only like source of connection I have. And I just turn off everything, get to like a just straight clean channel and just come in. And my other worship leader's like looking over at me like, what are we doing? And so we just went acoustic the rest of the set. So again, kind of a wonder and blunder. Like the blunder was change your strings often enough that they don't break on you. But the wonder was, I don't think anybody noticed. Like people were like, oh, he switched guitars in that intro. And now he's really intentional stuff. But there we go.
What's funny in that is I've talked with our team about the stuff that's like above the surface of the water versus the stuff that's below the surface, below the surface. That's the stuff we notice, but like nobody else in the room normally does.
Right.
And so the funny part in this is like you were able to navigate that in a way where probably no one in the room that you were leading even knew what was going on. You're like wiping sweat, like pitting out, but you're like, okay, I'm here. I saved it. So, that reminded me of something I didn't intend to share, but like I was actually leading worship last Sunday. I had two things with my guitar. I'm leading worship and I was using a wireless pack on my acoustic.
Yep.
And then I have wireless in-ears.
Yeah.
And somehow, because of how I had them hooked up, as I moved, the volume on my pack, my wireless in-ears pack, was slowly getting turned down. And so it was like it was on a fader going, And we were singing. It was kind of this, almost like a spontaneous moment. I was going to pray through this moment. And I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. And I thought it was my guitar. But then I realized it was just the wire on my acoustic pack that was turning it down. It's bizarre. Same service. I took my guitar out after the main worship set. And I'm like, I got to remember to bring it back in for the closing song. It was a special song.
Yeah.
I walked out. Sure enough, what I thought, what I was afraid was going to happen, happened. Right. I walked out. The pastor's praying into the song, and I'm like, I don't know. My guitar is in the back room. So then I had to real cool, walk off the stage, go back, grab my guitar. I heard, grabbed it, came back in slow, walking in, put it on. I had about 15 seconds before he was done. Nice. So I pulled that off.
You're totally out of breath. You're like,
fortunately, I wasn't like singing that song, but it was an acoustic song.
Yeah.
Anyways, it would have been kind of crazy if I had made it back. Yes. I was the only acoustic player. So what I was going to share was that this Sunday, and we have really good systems set up, and we have amazing volunteers who this almost never happens.
Yeah.
But this last Sunday, both of our bass players on both of our teams for this Sunday texted us and they were like, hey, we're going to be late. The one guy was 45 minutes late to rehearsal on Sunday morning. And the little bit of that story, I don't think he'll listen to this, so it's fine. I'll tell the story. Because we were all joking about it. He had got up early enough to come. He'd gotten around. Yeah. He's a big Notre Dame football fan, and Notre Dame played last week, and so it was a night game. So it was up late watching that. So he got up, got around, sat in his chair, and fell asleep. And his wife woke him up. It's like, hey, honey, are you supposed to be at like worship rehearsal? He's like, no. Yes. And he jumped up and he's about a 45 minute drive for us. So he was 45 minutes late. It all came together. But like how we navigated that was we literally had to run the worship set. Like we had to rehearse without the bass player for most of it, which was kind of weird and difficult.
Yeah. Especially for your sound guy, probably. He's like, yeah, something's missing.
So he came, he got there for like the last 15 minutes of the rehearsal.
Well, that serves as a reminder that behind every good guy really is a greater woman. Because yeah, had she not woken him up,
the day.
Yeah. He would have still been asleep.
So Tracy, if you ever hear this, props to you.
We'll call her Tracy.
Yeah, we'll call her.
We'll call her Tracy.
The other thing that happened, and this was after the fact on Sunday, and I shared this with you guys, is I'm in a restaurant with my family having lunch on Sunday afternoon in the town we live in, and at the table across from me, there is another gentleman who, after listening to his conversation, I was eavesdropping, I confess. Yeah. I couldn't not eavesdrop. He was like sharing his like angst with like their worship team, his frustrations with that. He was just sharing like, I can't figure out how to get the team there on time. And like, it was obvious today that not everyone listened to the songs. And so like some people knew it, some people, it's just really hard. And he was just kind of like sharing that with the person, didn't know how to solve it. And I wanted to like go across the room and just go, hey, you're not alone, man. There's a whole lot of people. I just faced that. And I don't know if he was in a big church or a small church. I didn't know the guy.
Yeah. Well, why don't you ask him, Chris, why were you talking about that?
So defeated. But, and this was a guy I didn't know, but I thought to myself, there's a whole bunch of people that probably 100%. Go home on Sundays and just go, man, what do I do? How do I help our team come in prepared? And I think his heart is in the right place, was in the right place. Mm-hmm. Because his goal was like, how do we be more effective in leading our teams in worship and leading our people in worship? I'm sorry. And that was kind of a challenge for them. But I just want to say, you're not alone, bro.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of people that have to navigate that.
Yeah. I think that's some of the reasons we are doing this is because we recognize the stuff we would talk about over at a coffee shop and just reminisce with each other. There's so many people who are like, yeah, I have that same struggle or I'm thinking through that same thing. And the wisdom and experience of just doing it for a while helps us understand we're not alone. And it's not the first time someone's encountered this situation or issue or things like that. And so I think, and with team dynamics, like, you know, you think of what all it takes to pull off a Sunday and it's wild. There's so many people involved. And as a leader, you're leading all of those individual people. Mm-hmm. In a group setting, but it is individuals. And so there's something about what does it look like to lead those teams well?
Yeah. Well, and it's creating that, like reminding ourselves too, that there's, you know, whether you're volunteer, part-time paid, whatever it is, as a worship leader, like there's community, like there's those of us sitting around this table and others or in coffee shops that like we're going through that same thing. And so it's that reminder that you're not on an island, like what you faced, there are probably many others who have faced that. And so like, there's always things you can learn from it, but just don't be so defeated that you're like, man, what am I doing? I'm just going to give up. No. Like, got to stay in the trenches and keep working at it. And,
and find some people to come in there with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't do it alone. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Cool. But I think that's the point of this whole segment is like, just to remind everyone that whether you've been leading worship for 1 month or 10 years or 20 years, like we all encounter those things and learning to not take myself, quite as seriously has been a hard lesson, but a good lesson.
Like, it is good.
You know, just relax, David. You know, I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. Our team is going to make mistakes. And that's okay. At the end of the day, I think God is still honored by our efforts. Yeah. He knows our hearts. And it's not going to be perfect. And I don't think people are looking for perfection. I think they're looking for authenticity.
Yeah, that's right.
So
I do think there's a thing a mentor used to say to me, it's not what you do in 30 minutes, it's what you do in 30 weekends. And so the consistency, it's like, yeah, these one-offs, these things happen and your people are watching how you react to those things as well. So for that guy that you heard at lunch, you know, if he were listening, I would encourage him and say, hey, how you respond to your team in that moment will actually help shape the culture going forward. So you can be frustrated and stuff, but if you're not consistently holding them to something going forward, then yeah, it's just going to keep being the same. You're perpetuating the culture as a leader always. And so, yeah, it's not what you can do in one exact weekend. It's what you're going to be doing over the course of a long period of time. And I think that matters.
That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah. Actually, that kind of leads us into like our next segment about tips, tricks, and tools. And this week we wanted to focus in a little bit on like, how do you connect and care for your worship team members and volunteers?
Yeah.
Dave, do you want to kind of start the conversation for us?
Sure. I think that relationships are foundational in any ministry endeavor. And so like with a worship team, relationships are foundational. When I have depth of relationship, if there is someone who is habitually late to rehearsals, I have the relational clout to be able to go to them and go, hey, what's going on? Yeah. You know, so relationships are so foundational in everything that we do on our teams, but with the people we lead. And so one of the things that we prioritize is trying to find ways to connect with our team. And so I just want to give us the chance to share some really practical ways that we do that in this segment. And so I guess I can share maybe a couple of things and I'll throw it to you guys. I think something as simple as a text message, and this is really practical. I actually have on my desk, I have our database of, I have a sheet of paper that has every team member's name on that. And I just have to do it because we have a little bit of a larger team. Yeah. And I'll prioritize. I'm going to take like four or five people, and I'm going to specifically reach out to them via text and just go, hey, I was thinking of you today. How can I pray for you?
Yeah.
How can I encourage you today? And sometimes I get an immediate response, and it's like, man, thanks so much. Means a lot. Can you pray for this? Or other times like, hey, everything's great, but thanks for reaching out.
Yeah.
So that's just a very, very simple way that I strategically try and connect with the team when they're not in the building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's some other things that we do very specifically when they're in the building to connect as well, but maybe I'll share that another time. But what are some things that you guys do to just build, just to stay connected with the people on your team?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the text message thing is great, and that's something that has been a helpful practice of just, am I reaching out to them with something other than a scheduling request? Right. You know, it's like, I want them to know that I care about them outside of the value that they bring as a role on a team. I'll say often to them, like, you're more than just a question mark, check mark, or red X on Planning Center today. Yeah, right. You know, it's like, I want to know what's going on. Like, so, you know, this week I had one of our drummers, his wife was having pretty significant surgery and, you know, some health complications there and knew it was significant. And so I just had it in my mind. I was going to pray for him at this exact moment when I knew the surgery was happening. I was going to text him and just encourage him. And if I didn't have my ear to the ground, I think, on what's going on in the lives of my people, I think I would miss out on a lot of that. And so I think that's a key, like, especially as your team grows, like, don't just look at your team as this macro level worship team. See the individual and then, you know, be aware, like, whether it's a sheet of paper on your desk or you're pulling open your church database and are they in a small group? Are, you know, what are their connection points? What are the things they're going through? And then in those, for us, like we have with two gatherings, there's an in-between time where they're usually not sitting in both services during the message. Like their family's either coming to one and they're going to sit with them during that. And so our back ready room, green room area is a great connection point for us of just like, hey, I'm not just going to sit here and think about my own thing. I'm going to jump into a conversation, whether it's just building relationship, talking about hobby stuff. Hey, what'd you guys do this weekend? And just hearing those type of things. So I think just, yeah, my big thing is just, can I see them as an individual versus this kind of macro, you know, bass player or guitar player type of person? And how can I be integrated into their life in some way?
Yeah. I think that, people at the end of the day want to feel seen and known and not just used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and so I think that's part of our job is like, how do I genuinely make people feel seen and known?
Yeah. While also holding them to the practical side of, you know,
you got
to
play your guitar.
You got to play the right parts and you got to, you know, and that, so it's just something you navigate often as a, cause you know, I'm talking a lot about this, but I think the guy at lunch that you overheard, like I'd want to know, like, do you feel like you could go to your team and say, hey, what's going on? Like, why do you guys not listen to the songs? Like, if one of my guys showed up 45 minutes late and didn't text me, you know, that would be like a big red flag. Like, correct. You feel like you don't even have to text me. You just waltz in whenever you want. Like, that would show some relational things. The fact that your guys feeling that, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened. I got to text Dave shows that you care for him and outside of his role and he wants to support that relationship as well. So it's a both and thing for sure.
But, yeah. Yeah, I think for me, I'm sure you guys do this too, but you know, when we enter our usually like the first bit of our Wednesday rehearsal, when we get together, like we're kind of catching up, seeing how everybody's doing. And then at the end, we always end our time in prayer. And it's not just like, all right, hey God, thanks for a great rehearsal. But it like, we'll take some intentional time just to pray and ask like, hey, are there things we can be praying about for one another? And then I may not always be great at this, but I always try to listen in and like some of what you guys already said, if there's something like that's been happening in, whether it's, hey, we had, you know, somebody who's starting a homeschool co-op group and trying to follow up with them. Hey, how are things going with that? Or, you know, if there's a kid having a surgery, or man, somebody's transitioning at their work, and just trying to tune in, because those are life issues. Yeah. I mean, those are things that we're all facing. You know, like in my life, it's been like we've had car issues, and so it's been neat for, you know, hearing from some of our team, hey, how are things going? Like, were you guys able to find a car, or people sending me stuff like that? But just being able to be relational and connected, because again, life happens. Yeah. And so how do we continue to stay connected? And like, I know, like, I'd love to do more sit downs at, you know, having coffee or lunch. And sometimes that happens, you know, less frequently, other times more frequently, yeah. But just being able to really dive in. Cause I think you're right, in the midst of all of it, it's not about, it's helping them see that they're not just filling a role, but yeah, they're, you know, really adding so much more into the life of the church. And then like those moments on a Sunday, like we have, you know, one of our team members, like I've just noticed over the last, you know, few months as they've been kind of leading in worship, like there's just a freedom. Like it wasn't there when we first started. But like just taking moments to like say, hey man, I just want to share, like you encouraged me and like in how you worshiped this Sunday. And I want you to know, like, I think that was seen by a lot of people. And so trying to highlight some of those things that, you know, maybe are stretches for them too in that process. But then when it comes to like the practical side of being able to like, you know, work on maybe some coaching or stuff like that, it's like, hey, we're in this together. Like there's things I can work on. But if you don't have that relationship and you don't have that care, it makes it harder sometimes to have those conversations. So yeah, I think, you know, to what you said, Dave, people want to be known and seen in that process. I think that's a huge, huge thing as we look to connect and care with our people.
Yeah, when you think about, this is probably may go without saying, but I've learned over the course of time that some things that I do now naturally, I didn't used to do, and I probably picked it up along the way, but a really simple way to stay connected and make people feel connected is when they share stuff with you, to revisit that.
Yeah.
Like the next time you see them, go, hey, you mentioned your car. Like to go, hey, did you get that solved? Like, what's the latest with that? Just something as simple as that makes them go, oh yeah, you were present when we were talking.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You were listening. Oh, I was heard. It wasn't just like small talk that, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So finding those little connecting points with your team, I think is foundational.
Yeah.
Foundational. So, and yeah, it's just foundational. So, I think we've got one more segment, right?
Yeah.
And so is it word for the week? Is that where we're heading?
Word for the week. Yeah, absolutely.
Word for the week. And we kind of kicked around a couple different ideas. And the one that we landed on today, just to share with you, if you're listening today, is something really, really simple. And it's just find joy. Find joy. And there's a lot of joy thieves out there in our lives. And so making a conscious effort to find joy every day is a discipline that I have had to incorporate into my life. And now it's become fairly routine, fairly like it's part of my natural thought process in the morning. But one of the ways that I do that is I will simply find things that I'm grateful for. And I borrowed this from somebody else's. It wasn't an original idea, but I talked about this writer talked about having a gratitude jar where you could actually literally write things as a family and put like things you're thankful for, grateful for,
yep,
in that jar, and then periodically take it out and read it. So that's one way, one really practical way you can find joy and like remember those joyful moments. The other thing is like, and this is another thing that I do where I journal and I'll just write down things that I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Because I was finding that in my own life, the just the messiness of ministry in life was kind of sucking some of the joy in life out of my soul. And I'm like, I think I've got to spend time replenishing the joy in my life. And so I developed this discipline where I just would find three things that I was thankful for, grateful for, and I would write them down.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for, and it might be something that's like, I may be sitting in the morning drinking a cup of tea going, man, I'm grateful for this cup of warm tea that's soothing my throat right now. And then maybe I think about a family, like relational, man, I'm grateful for that conversation that I had last night with so-and-so, or my my family, God, thank you for that. That's good, you know. And then maybe there would be something else as simple as like right now I'm looking outside. We have this beautiful blue sky. Yeah. Like I think there are little things that I found myself missing that are good.
Yeah.
That kind of refill that joy. And we know that the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Paul, the writer, Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. Mm. He's writing that most likely from a prison cell, right. You know, in hard times. And so I just want to encourage somebody out there today to find joy every day in little ways and significant ways.
Yeah. I think in a ministry context too, that's really important because in any type of leadership position, you're naturally looking for the gaps and the things that aren't working well. How can we optimize this better? How can we do that? You know, you leave a Sunday, you're evaluating instantly. I could have not almost missed that chorus coming in, you know, and like you're constantly looking for the things that went wrong. And that can drain the mm-hmm. joy out of you. Like you talked about joy thieves. I think that's huge. I love, you know, Psalm 126, the Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. The Psalms tell us again and again to recount, like that's to good. Remember, to meditate on the things that the Lord has done. And so I think if we're so quick to run to the, okay, how can we improve? How can we do better? How can we fix this without stopping and saying, what are the victories? What are the things that are going incredibly well? What is the Lord doing among us that we can just celebrate and revel in? And that's where a lot of joy comes from. Because in ministry, there's a lot that can be going better, and we know that, and we recognize that, but there's so much good and sweetness in it, but you got to stop and force yourself to do it. So I love that. Even, yeah, the journal or a jar or something, you know, what would that look like for your team? Is there something your team could do to say, hey, let's just think about all the great things, and maybe there's a jar in your backstage area that people are like, man, that was such a powerful time of worship today, and put a date on it, and mm-hmm. then you're pulling it out at team nights or things like that to just remember the victories that are there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. No, I think, you know, that you said stop. And like, that's the immediate thing I'm thinking is like, man, life is so busy, busy, busy. And I mean, let's be honest, between whether it's us leading worship or our volunteers, like life is so busy, busy, busy that hitting that pause button and just taking time to reflect. I think, you know, like this morning was a great one for me. Like over the last couple of years with my kids, as we get up and I drive them to school, like being able to see the sun rise and stuff like that. And I would tell them like, man, God made that for us. Like, do you see that? And so, like, sometimes it's kind of whether it's in your own life or team or church, you sometimes wonder, like, do those things ever catch on? And so my oldest daughter's driving, and she goes, look at that. That's such a beautiful thing. And I'm like, oh, like, in that moment, I'm like, I think I did something really good as a dad. Yeah, yeah. But it started with pausing.
Yeah.
And just saying, you know, like, we're at a stop sign. Man, look at what God just did. Mm-hmm. And I think in the fast-paced world that we're in, life is so busy. It's hitting that pause and just reflecting. And man, I like even hear you talk about that, Dave, and just the three things of joy. I'm like, man, I probably need to start doing that too. Like there's those things where it's like, oh yeah, I'm thankful. But like doing that every day, I think it just sets a different tone. And even doing that, like what you were talking about, Brent, like having that and incorporating that with your team. And then when you have a gathering together, pulling out, hey, I don't know who wrote this, but man, let's just read three of these. Yep. And again, just reminding people of the goodness of the Lord in that.
So good. So good. Well, I want to say thank you for joining us for the Refuel Worship podcast. It's been a privilege to kind of sit across the table from each other today and just kind of chat about ministry. And I think our hope and prayer is that this encourages someone today. So if you're listening, we pray this encourages you. Hope this encourages you. And so until next time, stay encouraged and stay connected.